We're going to get a little bit of a description of the journey. There's actually two journeys, two ways, as it were. We want to look at that this morning and try and work out how to know which journey you're taking, which road you're on, which way you're on, because it's an important part, knowing where the destination is going to be. We've touched on it last night, but I want to just focus on that a little bit this morning and then start on looking at what you're going to need for the journey. But in Matthew chapter 7, and I'll read for us just two verses. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, and then after that we'll pray. Matthew 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Amen. Let's just pray, shall we, and ask God to help us this morning. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity to come together again. I thank you for every camper here this morning. I thank you that you've given us this privilege to be able to look into the Word of God, to look at a description of the way, the journey that we're on as we would head towards our destination. Father, I pray you'd help our hearts to be open to receive the truth of the Word of God, and that we might be willing, Lord, to do what you'd have us do. Help us now as we look at this passage, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you were paying much attention as we read through these two verses, but the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus speaking here, he says here that there's two ways. There's two ways, there's two descriptions of those ways, and there's two destinations. Very different from each other. Very different. And before we get to the rest, I suppose, of the week, where we're going to be looking at things that you're going to need along your journey in life as a Christian, most importantly, you need to work out which way you're in, which journey you're taking. Everybody in life is in a journey through their life, and it's going to perhaps be different from those around you, but the destination is one of two places, even though the road to those destinations may be slightly different. But we're given here a description of these two ways. Now notice what the Lord Jesus says. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." Now I don't want to look at the strait gate first. I want to look at the wide gate and the broad way. But he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There's a few things I want us to consider this morning about this wide, broad way. There's a few things. First of all, let's just consider the terms used, wide and broad. What do you think about when you think of something which is wide or broad? What do you think? You can imagine a road. It's wide and it's broad. What do you think that is trying to tell us about this road? Anyone got any thoughts? Yes. Many possibilities. Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of opportunities. Yeah. Yes, Ezra. It's easy. It looks pretty easy, doesn't it? It's pretty wide. It's pretty broad. There's lots of space. Plenty of room. Yes. It's popular. It's popular. The Bible says there that many there be which go in thereat. It seems to be the most popular road to take. Now, this is a pretty simple kind of maybe object lesson. But let's just say that my destination is the kitchen. Now, if you're standing in my position here, what do you think would be the easiest way to get there? Someone help me. If I'm heading towards that door, where am I going to go? Yes. Straight ahead. I'm going to go down this way, yeah? I'm going to keep going down this way. I'm going to keep walking, What am I going to do when I get here? Maybe I'll take a slight turn to the right and then to the left, and I'm going to head for that door. Now, how many of you would think that to get to that kitchen door, this is how we're going to do it? One's a bit harder. Sorry, we'll go over here again. Sorry, mate, just going to let me through here. Maybe go through here. And we're there yet? Man alive. Imagine if I took that approach to get to that door. Wow, it's going to take me a while. I'm going to do my back in. But nobody is looking for that way. Now, some of you kids think, no, I would do that. Well, that's because you're crazy. You're mad. Why would you go that way? We're trying to get to some place that looks pretty straightforward, pretty wide, pretty easy. I'm not going to do what I just did. That was crazy. That's not the way there, surely. That doesn't make sense. Now, if I did that, would I eventually get there? I reckon I probably could. Doesn't look easy. Doesn't look very straight. Doesn't look very comfortable. Looks like, it was hard getting through there. Trust me. All right? That's just a very simple object lesson of the way. One way looks very easy. It looks fun. It looks enjoyable. And most people are going that way. Just a couple crazy nutters are going the other way. They mustn't be right, surely. Those ones there that do this narrow, winding, hard, difficult road. Well, you know what the Bible has to say? That the wide, the broad, the easy, the popular doesn't lead to the destination that you think it's taking you. Have a look in Proverbs chapter 14. Let's turn there, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 12 and 13. Proverbs chapter 14. If you open your Bible to about the middle, that's where you'll find it. Book of Proverbs and chapter 14. Let me read for us two verses there in verse 12, verse 13. There is a way, a road, a way of life, a journey, which seemeth right unto a man. It seemeth right. It looks right. It feels right. It sounds right. Why? Because it's easy. It's fun. It's the popular road. It's the well-beaten track that everybody else is on. It seems that way, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems the right way. To a man, it seems this would be the natural way you'd go. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Even though everybody seems to be having a good time, even though everybody seems to be having fun, the end is that of heaviness and sorrow. What it looks like and what it is two completely different things. Now contrast that back in Matthew 7, if you still have your finger there, in Matthew 7. One leads to sorrow and to heaviness. But in verse 14 of chapter 7 in Matthew there, which we read, it says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few. Many are on the broad way. Few are on the narrow way. Now the focus on the way is different. A focus on this journey is very, very different. Do you know what the focus is on the broad way? The focus on the broad way is about self. It's about my enjoying life. It's about me making money in life. It's about me having friends in life. It's about me doing all the good things in life. And no doubt in your minds this morning, you young people, you've got plans. You've got things you want to do. You've got some things that you're going to tick off your bucket list. Or perhaps you want to go places and experience things. And I'm not saying necessarily all those things are wrong in themselves. But you need to think about the way that you're on, the journey that you're taking. Are you on the right journey? The focus of the journey is about self. And there's no focus on the destination, on the broad way. No focus on the destination. We said last night that you won't find a subject which is teaching us and preparing us for the destination in schools and universities today. That you won't find it. They're trying to prepare you for life. I'm not saying they oughtn't do that. But there ought to be a subject there which is preparing you for death. It ought to be preparing you for your destination. Because every journey has a destination. And as we know, the Bible teaches there's only one of two that you're going to be at. The difference between the straight, narrow way which leads to life and there's only few that find it, the focus is very different. The focus is not necessarily on the things along the way. The focus is on the destination. And who is at the end of the destination, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. The focus is very different. The focus on the broad way is about self. The focus on the narrow way is about Jesus Christ. It's about the finish line. It's about being with my Lord and Savior for all of eternity. It's a very different focus. One leads to destruction and one leads to life. One focuses on the fun and one focuses on the Lord and focuses on eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal." They're just passing away. They don't last. You don't take them with you. You leave everything behind at the end of your journey. They're temporal things. He said, we don't look at those things. These things are just temporal. But instead, we look at those things which are what? We look at those things which are eternal. That's the focus along the narrow way. The focus along the broad way is the things of this life. It's the pleasures of this life. It's the friendships of this life. It's the opportunities, all these things in this life, and that's the sole focus. Make the most of your life, they say. Live life to the fullest, they say, but with no consideration of the end. For the believer, if you're saved this morning, don't be distracted by the things of this world. You're on a narrow road. You're on a straight path. Your destination is eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be preparing for those things. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." What's the focus? The Lord Jesus. What's the focus? The kingdom. The focus is His righteousness, those things which are right living, doing right. It's contrary and opposite to the broad way. You know, sadly, many Christian young people have started along the straight and narrow way, and they're trying to walk in the broad, wide path. You can't do both. You can't walk the narrow road and you can't walk in the broad way at the same time. It's very painful. You'll mess your life up, you'll ruin your testimony for the Lord Jesus, and at the end of your life, you'll have done nothing for Him, and it would have wasted life. If you've entered in on the straight and narrow, then continue walking on the straight and narrow. Now you say, how does a person enter then into the straight and narrow? How does a person enter? That's an important question to ask, isn't it? Well, there is a way that a person enters. The Lord Jesus said, you need to enter in. You need to know that you're on the straight and narrow. How does it happen? Well, let's have a look in our passage that we looked at last night in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to just introduce us to a thought, a truth, a biblical principle that is absolutely essential to enter into this narrow way. Hebrews chapter 11, now we looked at verses 1 through 6, and I just want to look at verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, it is not possible to enter into the narrow way in that journey in life. It's impossible to do so without faith. The Bible tells us that faith comes from a source. Where does our faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you know what it takes for a person to have faith? It takes the Word of God to be preached. It takes the Word of God to be, as it were, imparted into us in such a way as we respond by faith. Now you say, what is faith? That's a good question. Because a lot of people say, well, I have faith. I have my faith. What do they mean when they say they have faith? Well, there's a lot of things that we could define as faith, but I want to try and keep it as simple as possible. True biblical faith, I believe, is confident obedience to what God's Word says. It's not just in your head. It's not just something you believe in your head. You believe in your head, but you act accordingly to what you believe. Now the Bible says this, that for a person to be saved, they must believe in their heart the gospel and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're presented with the gospel. I know you've heard the gospel most probably many times, that Jesus came, that He died and He shed His blood, He paid the price for your sin, and then He was buried, and then He rose again the third day. When a person hears that, and then they believe that, then they cry out to God for salvation, for forgiveness, and say, please God, have mercy on me. That's faith. It's believing, but putting that belief in action. It's saying, I'm prepared to trust Jesus Christ and Him alone for forgiveness of sin. It's not just in the head. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I believe Jesus came, I believe Jesus died on the cross, I believe that He rose again, and that's as far as it goes. That's as far as it goes. You know what the book of James said? James says this, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Do you know the devil believes in God? Do you know the devil believes that Jesus died on the cross? Do you know the devil believes that Jesus rose again? Let me ask you, do you think the devil is a believer, a Christian? No, he's not. You see, it's not enough just to believe it in your head. It needs to come from that heart that says, I'm prepared to trust. I put my trust in Christ and Christ alone. Now, that's faith. That's faith. And for any person who's going to enter into this narrow way, this straight and narrow way, there must be faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace, you are saved. God's grace, what is God's grace? It's His favor upon me. God showed favor to me when He sent His Son. That's the grace of God. Completely undeserved. I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. Do you know what I really deserve? I deserve hell because I'm a sinner. But God's grace, which was shown to us through Jesus Christ, has given me an opportunity to respond to what He has done through faith. Faith that says this, I'm prepared to trust Christ and Christ alone. Faith is not me working towards heaven. No, faith is simply trusting that Jesus is able to take me to heaven. Nothing I can do. You say, how do you know whether your faith is real? You know, a lot of people are unsure. They're unsure, aren't they, as to whether they're truly born again. You know, sometimes I grew up in a Christian home and I got saved when I was 12 years of age. But there were many times as a teenager that I doubted, I wasn't sure, and I was trying to work out, am I really saved? Because I had things in my life which I was doing which I knew weren't pleasing to God. And I often ask myself the question, is my faith real? Is it genuine? Well, you need to ask yourself the question, what is the direction in life that you're going? Are you desiring the things of this world? Are you desiring the pleasures of this world? Are you desiring the sinful things of this world? Is that what you desire? Or do you desire to do right? Do you desire to live for God? Do you desire to be in church? Do you desire to be in youth group? Do you desire to help other people? Do you desire to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the direction you're taking? You see, you can see from the direction you're taking in life whether your faith is real. Your faith needs to have something to show that it's genuine. And you can say as much as you like, well, I believe in Jesus and I believe that He died on the cross, but if you live like the devil and you don't care about Jesus Christ and you don't want to hang around other Christians and you want to do your own thing, ask yourself seriously, do I really have faith? Was it genuine? Because if it was genuine, there would be a change in your life. There would be a change in direction. big change. And every person ought to know when that change took place. When they called upon the name of the Lord and said, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose again. I believe that if I put my faith and trust in You alone, that You could save me. Then a change happened. You wanted something different in life. You didn't want to head down the broad way. You might be tempted, but you want to do right. You wanted to be in church. You wanted to be around God's people. You wanted to start singing the songs. You wanted to start hearing the Word of God. You wanted to start doing those things which you knew pleased God. There has to be a change. You can't profess to be a Christian and live like the devil with no change in your life. It's not real Christianity. It's very important. You and I need to have assurance in our life that we know that we've been born again. Look at your life. Ask God, has there been a change? Could I see a change? Do other people see a change in me? Could other people look at me and say, that's not the same person. They used to be heading in this direction. Now they're headed in this direction. They used to want to go and hang out with the crowd that's doing everything that's wrong. Now they want to hang out with the crowd that wants to do everything right. You see what I'm saying? There's a change in direction. You can tell it. Faith isn't just in your head. Faith is seen through your actions. The number one reason why this journey that I'm on is something that I suppose at times struggle with, and I'm talking personally now, I don't know about you, you work this out for yourself. But one of the hardest things for me as an individual, walking along this narrow way, desiring to please God, one of the biggest problems I have personally is looking at other people and looking at the things that they're doing and looking at the fun and looking at the enjoyment and the business and all the things in life and taking my focus off the Lord Jesus. He needs to be the focus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, let's just have a look at that. Faith is important in this journey, but focus is important as well. Faith is important, but focus is important. Verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1. We're nearly finished. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have faith in Him, but our focus is on Him. Focus on Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus went through some incredible suffering so that you and I could run this race or walk this way? Went through some incredible suffering. If you have time, I would encourage you to read through the four accounts of the suffering of the Lord Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have a look what the Lord Jesus went through so that He could make a way possible for you to have forgiveness of sin. You know, there are times when you, like myself, would look around at people and you think, wow, look at those people. They seem to be having fun. They seem to be enjoying life, and my life at the moment is just hard work. I'm really struggling. I'm really discouraged. I'm really battling. I've lost a really good friend. I lost someone in the family. My job's hard. Going to church seems difficult. Reading the Bible seems hard. I can hardly pray. And all the things that happen along this way that we're walking. And do you know what the problem often is? Not so much our faith, but we've lost our focus. We've lost the focus. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You know, there's going to come times when you won't be able to look at your close friends, because they may be decided to walk somewhere different. There may be some time when that good job that you had suddenly becomes really hard. It may be as a young person in your school, you've got someone who's bullying you. It may be that one of your family, your brothers or sisters or something has done something and it's hurt the family. It may be you've had to move with your parents to a new place and you're finding it difficult to get new friends and to make new connections and all the things that happen as young people. And you say, I'm saved, but why am I feeling so miserable? Why am I finding this so hard? Well, let me suggest to you, you may have lost your focus. You need to focus back on the Lord Jesus. Do you know He'll never let you down? You say, but I can't see Him. No, but we see Him and we experience a relationship with Him through His Word, through prayer. You say, but it's not the same. No, it's not the same. That's where you need faith too. You need faith to be able to see what you can't see. But you need a focus on Christ. You need to focus on what He's done for you already and what He wants to do for you and what He's going to do for you for all of eternity. There's a lot that He's done for you. There's a lot He wants to do for you. And when we get to heaven one day, we'll spend eternity with Him. It's going to be worth it one day. This road may not be an easy road. It might mean you have to crawl under a few things, climb over a few things, dodge a few things, duck and weave and work your way along. And there's not many other people along that same road. And you look over the fence and there's this broad way and this wide way and there's everybody's walking along that way. And you think to yourself, wouldn't that be so much easier? Just lift your eyes just a little bit and look at the finish. Look at the end. Remember that faith that you had when you started that journey, you're going to need along the way. And you need to remain focused. Remain focused on the Lord Jesus. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. The completion of all things. He's able to help me along the way that I don't know how I'll get through it. Seems impossible. Seems difficult, yes, but with the Lord Jesus with me, I can walk it. I can go through life and face any difficulty in life with the Lord Jesus by my side. You say, but I don't have any friends around me. That's okay. You just need the Lord. He's walked the road already. He's been down the track before. And anybody who'll walk with Him, He'll walk with them. May God help us this morning as we consider this faith, the two ways, and our focus. Very important. I know you're only young, and a lot of you may be thinking, well, that's something down the track. No, you're preparing right now. You're getting things together now, and you maybe just have started along that narrow road. You may have a long way to go. I'm further down the road than a lot of you here. And I can honestly tell you, the Lord Jesus is good. He's faithful. He's never left me once. And He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Keep your focus on Him. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture in Matthew about the two ways. One is wide, the other one's narrow. There seems to be a lot of people on the wide way and not so many on the narrow one. Some of those reasons are because it seems difficult. It seems hard. It seems lonely. But if we have a look at the destination, we'll see that one ends with destruction and the other one ends with eternal joy and happiness and being forever with our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for every young person here this morning who's been listening, that they would consider what road they're on. I pray you'd help them to look carefully and to see if they've entered into that straight and narrow way. Whether their faith is something they could see, it's real. Or whether maybe they think it's a good idea, they'd like to try it one day, but maybe they're not ready at this point. Lord, help them to see. They need to get on that narrow way as soon as they can. Time's running out. The Lord Jesus is returning, and we need to be ready to meet Him. May our focus be Christ, and may You help us, Lord, for this time at camp, to put aside the things of this world and to focus on You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.